In this tutorial, I'm going to continue with...
Sorry, can you just turn on the microphone?
Because you're not using it, yeah, switch your name.
You may just need to turn on the pack.
Of the tutorial on Wednesday. So on Wednesday, we get this port. So on Wednesday, I thought this port is wrong, but actually it's fine. It's actually the correct button for O2, I think. So this is the right setup. So today I'm going to start from here, modify this file, use autoboot to produce the closing equation for using sigma epsilon mix. And I will also set up the file for navigate role. Okay, so let me see. I should start here. Okay, so this is what we have on Wednesday. So I'm going to copy this file and. I would call it
I will use a new mathematical kernel to open this notebook. For simple boot, every project have to be open in the independent mathematical kernel, otherwise you could run into trouble. So this is the mathematical notebook, and thanks to Lorenzo, I'm going to change the, I have to copy what Lorenzo sent to me. I'm going to change the style sheet of the initialization cell. I think this should be...
press on it and select format.
Maybe I can change color here, but. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Background color. Just choose another.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, let me try yellow. No, it's too bad.
Maybe a darker gray compared to the wonderful.
Maybe this one. At least it's clear. Also, the color is a bit too. the color is not great, but at least it's clear. Okay, let's start from here.
Sorry. The file you opened is called testrun.nv in the tutorial three finished.
Yes. You can see clearly, right? Okay, good. Suddenly everything is unfamiliar to me. Okay, so. Now we want to set up using. Sigma epsilon mix. So I'm going to use SimpleBoot to produce closing equation. So I'm going to replace this part. But first step, I'm going to use SimpleBoot to do that. So I'm going to copy. So this demo code I send you in the material contains the code to produce the closing equation in SimpleBoot. So let me open another mathematical kernel for that. Sorry, my notebook is a bit slow. So in simple boot, I use this command to load the package. And this set the group to be, sorry, what's happening? OK, so this is for O2. And we want to do easing, so let me just start from scratch. So we should use, if I remember correctly, it should be get group. OK, good. So it's order to group. First one in the order to group. So that's Z2. And I want to do sigma to be Z2 even and epsilon to be Z2 odd. I think it's OK. It looks correct.
I think you want epsilon to be Z2 odd, not the other way around.
Oh. Thanks. Thanks. Yeah, if you say I do something wrong, please let me know.
Sorry, where is this file group.m? I tried to run it, it gave error.
You have to run it inside the autoboot. You have to first download autoboot and do this in autoboot. OK, so if you want to use other discrete group, it's labeled, the notation is the notation in small group laboratory. If you open gap, you input this command, it tells you which group is which. So if you put these two numbers, it tells you S3. So these two numbers should be the number go here.
Sorry, you should download the output and then? Put it where?
It's
a particular directory? Or?
No, this is in gap, GAP.
I mean for up above, when you download out of boot, then should you put it somewhere precisely?
No, no. You download out of boot, inside the out of boot, you create a mathematical notebook, and you execute those command.
Ah, okay.
In the directory?
Yeah, in the directory of out of boot.
Okay.
Or reversely, if you want to know that two number from certain group, let's say symmetric group, you can figure out that from gap. Okay, good. Now we have a bootstrap equation, and let me just copy this bootstrap equation, and I will use another code. I showed you last time. So let me just open it here. So this code takes the bootstrap equation produced by SimpleBoot. Let me just copy that equation here. And take this as input. And this will produce the cosine equation as output. So sigma epsilon okay. So let me see. So this is the output. I think I did something wrong. Why the rep are labeled differently? This is for O2. Sorry, I think I did something wrong because the rep is labeled in O2. It must be the crossing equation are not correct. So let me redo it. Sorry, you see here the code situation is correct. I think when I copied to here, somehow I copied the wrong code situation. Okay, so this is the right code situation for Ethan. You see, wrap 2 is Z2 odd, wrap 1 is Z2 even. So let me redo this part. Yeah, for Ethan, you should not say this one over square root of 2. Okay, so now I use this command to produce the cross equation. And I go back to my folder, and the cross equation is produced here. Yeah, this looks like the correct cross equation for Ethan. So let me copy this cross equation and I will copy paste to the this notebook here. So that's what we have from Monday. Okay, good. Now we have cross equation. I'm going to load the cross equation here. Let me just execute all the initialization cell first. Okay, so I want to use this load expression and.
Now it's not visible. You select things, it's
not
visible.
What?
Now, yeah, it's just the selector.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't select.
Okay.
I'm just going to move the cursor aside.
Okay, that's bad. So I'm going to load this cross equation to the notebook. Just to be careful, let me double check whether the cross equation is correct. So let me just take a look what's inside. So those are all the channels. Let me just take a look at the Z2 even channel. So this is a cross equation. Okay, that seems good. And let me try another one. Okay, this also looks good. Now we have cracked the cross equation, and I will start with this cell. Let me first save the configuration here. I want to change this to be lower derivative and smaller spin, so that for debug purpose, I use smaller spin and derivative just for testing. So let me use this one. And initialization, initialize simple boot, that's the same. Okay, now I have to modify the gap configuration for Ethan. So usually what I do is that I first change initialization cell to normal cell, and I add it here. When I finish, I change it back to initialization cell. So what should we do? We want to impose Z2 even should be larger than 3. And copy paste, I want to Z2 odd spin 0 also larger than 3. And the rest, I want Z2 even to be delta larger than unitary bound for all the spin except the spin 0. Okay, I want same thing for Z2 odd. And I want to change. Sorry. I want Z2 odd, odd spin to be larger than unitary bound for all the odd spin. So let's double check. I think it's correct. Okay, that's good. Give me one moment. I want to double check again. Okay, that's good. Okay, so for this part, the template, I think the template is fine, but okay, I missed one condition here. So those conditions are for all the conditions except the condition corresponding to the V theta term. So I should do that separately here. So I add one more condition. So I forgot the command, so I'm going to open the menu and take a look. So that's discussed here. Okay, good. So I'm going to use this function, prefactor, crossing vector, gap, and spin. And the crossing vector, I want to use this crossing vector. OK, so let me copy this to the notebook. So prefactor should be 1. Crossing vector is the V theta term. Spin, there is no spin for this term, so I'm going to put 0 and 0 here, a shift and spin. Okay, that's the...
you put here shouldn't enter anything, right? So, so here the 0, 0, whatever you put there should not enter anything, right? Because V theta just doesn't have those parameters in it.
So whatever I put here will not affect V theta term, but I think this will affect because so what is this V theta? This V theta term is a term term corresponding to, let me show you. So that term is the sorry. That is this term. So this term specify we want to plug in epsilon. But it doesn't specify the spin, so I should specify spin to be 0.
Oh,
I think maybe the format here is not so good. I guess I should also tell simple boot the spin of external operator. But in this mode, it's always spin 0, so anyway. Okay, so this is the template. Let me double check if the template is correct or not. So I'm going to directly execute the template function in my Mathematica notebook. Okay, it looks correct. First matrix, it looks fine. Okay, so I finished with this part. Now I will move to the part produce actual SDP. Let me change the name. I will call it using OE, so O means odd, E means Z to even. And the pointer, I want to call it sigma epsilon. So I'm going to set those points to be 200 digit. And those are external operators, so I should copy that here. So this function produce actual SDP. The argument is external operator use defined variables. I have no use defined variable in this case, so I'm going to remove it. So this is a function I'm going to use to produce actual SDP. So now I can continue to, so at this step, let me check. So objective is zero, normalization is identity. So this is the right setup for the feasibility test. So before I go to navigator setup and start diving, let me just test this setup for the feasibility test. So let me see. I have a note here to tell me the async exponent. I couldn't remember it. Okay, so I'm going to put this point as my initial point, and scan a grid of points. So which range I want to scan? Maybe from this to 2.5. That's fine. And here maybe from 1.3 to 1.5. Okay. Something is wrong. What's happening?
Copy and paste.
Oh. Okay. So I see. I think it's something. Yeah. This is in traditional. sorry. That's easy to fix. Let me just retype that part. Okay, so let's check. Okay, we have cracked. I prefer this to be a little bit bigger, maybe from here. Let's look. Okay, that's perfect. Okay, let me send this to the cluster and just try to see if this works. So copy paste this here, and I should not forget to put right. Okay, that's good. So let me upload my notebook. Maybe, sorry. Before I do that, I think okay. I forgot to change the. I should choose a different folder for the skydiving run. So let me call this maybe tutorial 5b skydiving run fresh. So let me create a kernel and upload this notebook.
Should you get rid of the one that you uploaded there?
This upload command override file on the cluster.
So if I have a project folder which has some calculations and I do the upload current notebook, it will remove all the older files.
It's just a override dot m file.
Okay, just the
dot m. Yeah. Somehow my laptop is a bit slow. I think maybe I should try to. Okay, that's fine. So now I'm going to submit the job to the cluster. Let me first check which is the node available for me. Okay, that's good. I have a lot of node. So let me submit this one. And I use this command to take a look at what happened on the cluster. Oh, there's something wrong. The reason there's some error here is because I forgot to, I used the cross equation from this file, but I forgot to upload this file. That's why it got wrong. So let me also upload this file to the cluster. So now I should kill my previous job. So Sorry, I think it's this one. Okay, after I kill that job, I should also delete everything in that folder. So I can start from scratch. Let me see. So I'm going to execute this command to delete whatever in the folder. Okay, good. Now let me retry. You see, it starts with a scalar block. Okay, this point is finished. It's primal. Okay, everything looks good. Great. So now I'm going to kill this job. And let me set this to be high precision. So before I used the low precision for test purpose, but now I'm going to switch to high precision. So this is lambda 11 with a lot of spin in it. So again, the procedure is I should upload the notebook. I should delete everything in that folder, and I should submit a job. So after a few minutes, this will produce an island. So as we wait for that, let me try to restart my computer. Somehow my computer got too slow. Let me see what's happening.
How many open kernels do you have?
What?
How many Mathematica kernels open do you have?
Right now, I just opened a few. It's not, it shouldn't have trouble.
This mean a few.
I think it's something wrong with my notebook. If I open for a while, it just gets slower and slower. So we have a 3 minutes break.
If you want to try a different style sheet, I sent you one which is everything dark though, if you should prefer to try.
Oh, oh.
It's like dark mode for Mathematica.
Okay.
You have to download the files.
Could you send me just the style sheet?
It is the style sheet. It is the file.
Oh, okay.
It is the file, but you should download it. I don't know how.
Okay, I will try that later. Sorry. Okay, let's continue with now it should be fine. So let's continue. Now let's check if this works properly. So I want to download the project file to my local computer. And I will try to plot. Okay, so first point, so this point is finished. This point is on the computing. Everything looks fine. That's good. So let me find my, okay, skydiving. Okay, good. So, I finished with the setup that use feasibility to scan the Ethan Island. Now I'm going to set up for skydiving, but let me do it in a different file. So I keep my previous file to do that island scan. So let me call this edge skydiving. Okay, so first I should change the directory folder. Now I should switch this setup to the navigate function setup. So for the navigate function, I want to use identity as normalization vector. And I also want to use the Sigma Navigator. How do I use Sigma Navigator? Let me check. It's somewhere in my in the menu. So in the menu, there is a function for Navigator run, and here it says, if you want to produce a vector roughly inside the cone, you can use this command. Okay, so I'm going to use this one. Sorry, I have too many. Okay. So I should use this one for the normalization. And the rest are the same. So from feasibility to navigator, just copy identity here and change normalization. That's it. Now let me switch this to the initialization cell. Okay, so this part, we finished the navigator setup. But for skydiving run, I have to set up a few things. So last time, in the script, I didn't specify the correct binary for the skydiving run, so I have to do that. So instead of put here and upload this to the cluster, I will just do it in this notebook. So I will need the binary from here. So I will just use a command set cluster. Oh, so sorry. I think that is yes.
Can I use the skydiving? Is the skydiving also SDPV skydiving also part of some singularity wrapper that I can use?
I don't know, but
sorry, I don't understand.
Is there a singularity wrapper around SDPV skydiving?
No, I haven't
done it
yet.
Thanks.
Okay, so I want to use first I have to run all the initialization cell. And I want to use cluster set config. So this set is a this set is the correct binary for the skydiving run. So I should set it for this variable. Dynamical SDPB, that's our original name for it, so I haven't changed. Okay, good. But for skydiving run in simple boot, we also need to specify a few other things. So first, load the simple boot package. Load the skydiving package in simple boot. That's the package. In default, it's not loaded into simple boot, so you have to manually load that. And You might want to also use this one, fixed prefactor, so that prefactor doesn't change. In this setup, the prefactor doesn't change anyway. But for all Navigator application, it's better you set this prefactor to be fixed prefactor to be true. Okay. Now I can call the skydiving run. Okay, I can call the scanner for skydiving run. So what's the argument? The first argument is a set of option managed by simple boot, and the example of those options are here. So let me explain those options to you. So first option, the when you compute the gradient or what's the infinitesimal you want to compute from in the parameter space, that's this one. Second, what's the dimension of the external operator? You have to specify explicitly. This option, did you talk about this option? You did, okay. So this option is the option that we want to minimize the duality gap to a certain value. Then start to run skydiving. So it can be said to be some value. If you set it to be 10 to minus 4, what happens is that in skydiving, it will always run below duality gap. So duality gaps. So if you set this option to be 10 to minus 4, the solver will run an ordinary SDPB step to 10 to minus 4 and stay below it. So what does that mean is that when climbing happens, so I talked about in her lecture, if the step gets slower, the solver will increase mu, therefore increase duality gap. But if you set this to be an absolute value, it will increase to 10 to minus 4 and stay there. The reason you might need this is because remember for easing case, we have an island, but we have a continent here. This picture is a picture for mu equals to 0. However, if you look at higher mu, the picture might look different. Usually, the picture at higher mu will look like this. Therefore, at a certain mu, it's just a gigantic visible region. So if you set this mu to be too high, you might end up in the continent, not in the island. So that's the absolute value. For automatic, if you set automatically 10 to minus 4, then skydiving will run on first iteration, will run to below 10 to minus 4. Then in later iteration, it allow skydiving, well, allow the solver to climb beyond this threshold. So is this clear to you? Okay, good. So here, I'm going to set to be 10 to minus 4. I just demand it to run below 10 to minus 4. Then I allow the solver to run beyond that in later iteration. Okay, so here I set it to be find boundary to maximize delta sigma. So delta sigma is the first coordinate in the point here. And this option set that I want it to maximize delta sigma. If I set this option to be false, that means I want to minimize the Navigator function. So this one, initial Hessian, we can set it to be automatic. I forgot, did you talk about this? Initial Hessian, set to be automatic.
For me, it's nothing.
Okay, so basically when you set to be automatically, it will choose that cosine inverse H PP sorry, it's HP P cosi H cosi cosi inverse H cosi P. So this term is one of the terms appear in the equation. But the interesting thing is that this term, if you compare this term with the actual Hessian, you find this term actually have the same scale as the actual Hessian. So the number is wrong, but the scale is correct. That means, let's say you look as a 2x2 matrix, you look at the value here, value here, value here, and value here. They are in same scale as the actual Hessian. Therefore, this is the perfect initial Hessian for your setup because the scale is correct. So actually, the advantage of the skydiving algorithm is that in usual navigator run, you have to manually set up your initial Hessian, maybe according to some bounding boards. But usually, your bounding boards for the OPE it could totally wrong because you have no idea what's the value for the OPE. For delta, you might have some idea, but usually it's still not good. However, for skydiving run, we have a natural Hessian just capture the correct scale in every direction. So we can set this to be automatic. So this option, you don't have to worry about it for now. Basically, what happened is that imagine you performed the skydiving run in one of the project. So let's say we finished this project and we find the value for maximized delta sigma. Let's assume now I want to minimize delta sigma. So if I want to minimize delta sigma, instead of start from scratch, I might take a certain intermediate step in this run and start from there to minimize delta sigma. So in that case, I can copy the checkpoint to this project and put correct information according to that step. So I'm not going to show you that in this setup, but this information will be provided in the simple boot menu. Okay, I finished with the option. So, simple boot actually have a few other options to handle the problem. So, basically, when I call the solver, I use this wrapper to wrap the SDP the function that produces SDP. So here, for the argument to this function, I should use this function. What does this part do is that if I call this function, it only produces SDP at a certain point. But the argument to the C++ code is that you have to give it a grid of points in every direction. So it will use the SDP here, SDP here, and the SDP here to compute the gradient. So this has to be given to the C++ code even before you start to run it. And in simple boot, this part of the code is heavily optimized. Basically, what happens is that this function will call this function for all the points that you need. But in first call, it just try to extract the C++ code to generating all the blocks and generating the SDP. And then this function will check which node you have how many nodes you have and try to distribute all the C++ all the shell command to call C++ code to different node and try to run it in a parallel way. So this should be handled carefully. So we need two options. One is this. So this is the option to set up option to call the C++ code. So let me explain this option. So this one, the host is a placeholder used by SimpleBoot. So this class.node is a placeholder for this command. What happens is that this function here, will distribute all the shell command to call C++ code to different node. So that function will check how many node you have and replace this placeholder to the correct node. And there are two variables determine how you want to distribute the computation. So this one tell you how many computation you want per node for scalar block mode. This one determine how many computation, how many process you want per node for scalar to SDP mode. So if you just do lambda 11 computation, those doesn't matter. You use a simple setup, it will work. But if you want to do lambda equals to 35 or even higher, then this part you have to be careful. You have to first test what's the efficient way of producing SDP. As I showed in her lecture, actually this is a bottleneck. Producing SDP now become bottleneck. Solving SDP is faster than producing SDP. That's why this part of the code is really important if you do very high lambda. Okay.
Does that become like an active area of research to bring SDP files?
I think maybe. So if you want to improve the computation in this process, then now you have to think about how to quickly produce an SDP and the duration of that SDP. There might be something can be done in that direction. Okay, so I think I finished everything. Okay. I haven't explained the solver, the option here. So this option is the option managed by SimpleBoot. That's this option here I already explained. And this part is the option to use the C++ code. So let me check. So this is when you want the solver to terminate. It will terminate when the objective below a certain threshold. And how many steps you want to climb, those I already explained in her lecture. I just go through it again here. So beta climbing is the option, how much you want to increase during the climbing for the mu. So I set 1.5 here. And the beta stem, we want to stem from beta equals to 0.3 to 1.01 with step size 0.1. So basically it is then 0.3, 0.4 until 1. Okay, so this is a step mean threshold, step max threshold. That means when the step, when the actual step alpha below 0.1, the solver will try to increase mu. And as the solver scan from 0.3, beta from 0.3 to 1, whenever the solver finds the step size is larger than 0.6, then it takes that beta and accepts that beta. Okay, so this is the shifting between primal objective and dual objective. So if you set this to be 0, you take primal objective. You set this to be 1, you take dual objective. 0.2 means you are 20% away from primal objective and towards the dual objective. And for the navigate computation, we prefer we don't use Lagrangian with the log term, but for the derivative we want to use Lagrangian with log term. So this is what I can explain. This is actually we find this is always the best setup for the wrong. Any questions so far?
So this this version of the SDP to input, which version is that? I saw you use some experimental version of the SDP to input.
What? You mean this?
In this part, yeah.
This
SDP to input, so.
You mean this?
Yeah.
That's the SDP to input mode. It's my modified version of SDP to input.
Like 2.4.0 or 2.5.0 or neither.
For skydiving, it has to be the 2.5.0. Thanks.
Okay.
Because the skydiving code is in that format.
I see.
Okay. Now, we are ready to submit the job, so let me. So we should use the cluster ASIN evaluate to submit the job. Let me see, do I forget something? I should upload the notebook. Let me create the kernel and upload the notebook. I don't need to upload this. I don't have to upload this again. Because the crossing vector I already uploaded previously. So now I should be able to use this one if I didn't make any mistake. Okay, let me check the job output. Oh, saw something wrong. what's happening? Skydiving wrong. Oh, I see. I forgot to choose my initial point. You should say that and tell me. I see. So let me choose. So for the initial check, for the initial point, I want to choose this one. Okay, so upload the notebook again, but I should kill the job. And also, I should delete the project folder. Now let me try again. Is there something else? Okay, I think everything else should be correct. Now let me check the job. Okay, now it looks correct. It calls scalar block mode. Okay, so this part looks correct. This is what happening in the code. It try to produce, try to execute all the C++ code parallelized in among the code, among the all the nodes you have. Oh, sorry, something else is wrong. Okay, you see, it didn't find the SDP template. Yeah, I forgot another one. I should generate the SDP template here. So let me. So I forgot the command for that. Let me try to find it. Okay, this one. Okay, so I should use this one to first produce the SDP template. I should use this function. Again, I'm going to kill the job and delete the project folder. And let me try it again. Okay, so far looks good. Let me go back to my first file and check what's the status of this island. You see this almost finished.
That was all just, sorry, was that job running?
Yes.
Okay.
That's not the one that you just... So that's this job. That takes... half an hour.
All right, sure.
So this is the so that's the feasibility test. This job is for skydiving. Let's check the skydiving job. Sorry, something's wrong. Let me double check. So this is what actually happened in research. Something could go wrong, and you have to double check what's happening. I think I specified this option twice. Let me check, where is this option? Oh, here. Okay, so this option is actually managed by Simple Boot. So you shouldn't specify here. Let me try again, sorry.
Rajiv is not here to say this is why we use type systems.
okay, yeah. That's not entirely true. I could write a check on your option and just check you always put the right options there. But then Simple Boot will need a team to code instead of a single person.
Are you hiring that pizza?
I couldn't hire anyone. And that's why it's not designed as rigorous as the types constraint. Okay, so I delete the job, I should resubmit. Yeah, I also killed the job. So to get the result from the run, I have some sample code in the menu. So the code is here. So this code downloads the result and displays the result. But let me check if it's running correctly. Oh, finally, now it's run correctly. So let's take a look at the output. So this is actual the output of this the skydiving code. So now this is just the beginning of the run. So it's doing first SDP, try to do usual SDP step until mu gets smaller. So remember we set duality gap to be threshold to be 10 to minus 4. Therefore it will decrease this column until 10 to minus 4 and then jump. So this is actually the slowest, the most slow piece of the run. Yeah, but now I think everything is cracked, and I'm going to show you the final result of it. I set up another. I practiced this yesterday, so I'm just going to show you the result of it.
The cake that they baked 2 hours ago.
Oh. Sorry, I somehow deleted my result. is it this one? Sorry. That's embarrassing. Here. Let me see. Okay, I found it. So that's the. The result. First iteration, this is from another point, but doesn't matter. This is from 0.52 and 1.44. So this is the path it takes. And this is how much delta P change and the duality gap. And it takes 100 steps to finish, but then in each step, it only takes a few iterations. So first step takes a lot of iterations, but then later it just takes a few iterations. And this one indicates the solver go to the minimum point of the navigate function, or go to the bound of the navigate function. At the beginning, the navigate function, the quadratic model don't have a negative region. Therefore, the only place the solver can go is minimum in that quadratic model. But after this step, there are negative region in the quadratic model. So from this step, the solver start to, you see, this part start from here, it's trying to maximize delta sigma in the quadratic model. And this column show you beta. So at the beginning, the solver set beta to be 1. So don't change mu. But then it starts to change mu from here. And towards the end, mu can be decreased more aggressively. So in fact, towards the end, you might use a different. So right now, I'm scanning beta from 0.3 to 1. But towards the end, you can scan that from 0.1 to 1 and take a more aggressive step to decrease mu.
So okay. When the beta is not 0.3 but not 1, somewhere in between, does that mean that it basically tried everything in between? It tried all the beta? So, like,
you mean those?
Yeah, so did you start with 0.3 and then like you did the loop and you found that, okay, so the step length is too small, let me increase beta by 0.1 and you do basically scan beta from 0.3.
Scan beta from 0.3 to 1 and try to find the best beta that you can use. So this is decided automatically here. Okay, that's basically the end of this tutorial. And in the next, my tutorial end here. In the next maybe 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to talk about a few ideas that you can do maybe as a practice for this mini course. So let me go to my note. Okay, so. This part will be not recorded, so if you want to ask something, if you want to discuss something, a simplest thing you can do is you say we did O2, O3 at a very high number. But now those computation, if you use skydiving, that save at least 90% of the resources. So now this is not how, before we have to do that computation on a national cluster. It consumes millions of CPU hours. But now you can do 0.4, 0.5, large N at using reasonable amount of resources on a university cluster. So one thing I suggest to you is that if you are interested, each of you could take your favorite N and compute that. It's not as easy as you think. Do this thing at a very high number, really, you have to understand how cluster works, how to effectively manage your job, parallelize those. So that's not as easy as you think.
That's what I mean. When you say every N, you always mean three reps, like always the symmetric, the tensor.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So
and would it be interesting to go higher or not, or do you think it's just...
I think for small N, those data are valuable for people. People will look at your data and check when they do loop, do whatever, do Monte Carlo, they will need your data. So that's a valuable computation. And also you can try to do this at a large N and check what happened at 1 over N. So this is one thing I could suggest to you. Another thing is if you are interested in using skydiving, but instead for GNY, maybe I can also help you for other N in GNY. I think with this algorithm, you don't need to do this on national cluster. You can do it on your local university cluster. So if you finish that, then you're more or less familiar with this computation. And now I'm going to suggest to you a few more difficult projects. So I have a list here. So first one, so I told you for easy model, there is an island here and a continent. Actually, the continent start around 0.56. But we knew super easy is roughly here. Super easy is roughly this value. So it's pretty close to super easy model. And we knew that easy is here. Super easy is next simplest CFT in 2D. So we expect it's also the next simplest CFT in 3D. But what happened to O2, O3, ON? Nobody know. Nobody ever produced the continent plot for larger N. So it would be interesting to check for O2, O3 what's happening here. At least one should explore that to check what's happening.
Sorry, for this, so we have only an island, but we don't have the other part. Is that the point?
I mean, scan the continent to see what's happening on the continent.
Yeah, there is no plot of the continent up to now?
I don't see that in the literature.
Okay.
So everything I suggest to you might lead to a paper, might not, so I couldn't guarantee that. by the way, so for the first one, I suggest to you, you can also mix the rank 4 tensor and try to extract the large charge data for ON, and those data will be valuable for people who do large charge perturbation theory. So I'm doing that with Yincheng for O3, so don't stoop us. Our paper should come out in a few weeks. Anyway. Okay.
Actually, counting them, is it possible that the team will eventually become super easy?
This is something one should check. Run the, even for easing, run this at a very large lambda to see if the actually the tip converges to super easing. So that's the subtlety for this for super easing next operator. I think it's this one. So in principle, you should lower the threshold to check if it can converge to super easing. It might be. So if it does converge to super easing, then it would be very interesting to check what's happening in the tip for O2 and O3.
It's actually not quite easy to think about the model which kind of appears.
Mm.
Well, you can always
play
with cost.
This
would
be your scale will be in
micro
rotation
algorithm,
so it's
still
something. Okay, so next thing I suggest to you is that remember we started this mini course by telling you all the challenges in numerical bootstrap. There are two challenges. One is that the scale of the number of correlates get bigger and bigger, and the scale of SDP get bigger and bigger. But in order to study complicated CFT, you have to study a bigger set of correlated systems. So with skydiving, those challenges partially solved. But still, if you continue to mix more correlators, you eventually will get into trouble. So I think with skydiving, you can mix up to 4 or 5 correlators. That already gives you a lot of mileage, and there are a lot of things now we can do. There are a lot of exploration we can do. But what happens if we want to do this at even more correlators, how to push this technique. So in order to mix more and more correlator, the only way I can think of is that for each correlator, we give it a different lambda. So for this correlator, maybe we should set lambda equals to 19 for this, lambda equals to 11 for this, and maybe lambda equals to 15 for this. So that the correlator involving operator with larger dimension should be less important. Therefore, they should have less derivative setting. But for operator with lower scaling dimension, they should have larger derivative. If I start with this setup, if I want to increase one component in the setup, so should I put one component here or to here or to here? This should be tested using navigate function to say which component contribute how much to the system. So here I show you the plot. This plot is lambda 19, and so that means I put lambda 19 for all the correlator. Instead, this island, I think it's produced using, if I remember correctly, I forgot the exact number, but it's a different configuration. It's higher lambda in this one, but lower than the other one. And however, the final component of alpha are roughly the same. And you see that island shifted a bit. So what does that mean? That means even with the same number of component, if you reconfigure this a little bit differently, you can get smaller delta sigma.
Yeah, depending what should we get? The intersection of the two pictures?
So that means if you want to minimize delta sigma, you should use this one. If you want to maximize delta sigma around the tip, you might need to take intersection. So also, in numerical bootstrap, remember our derivative is this one. summation m plus n smaller than lambda. So that means in the mn plane, the derivative we use are the derivative inside here. However, it might be possible, perhaps instead of doing this, maybe you should doing this. So maybe you should take the diagonal derivative more. And in module bootstrap, we certainly say that is the case. So nobody ever checked, does this work better than that? So there are a lot of exploration you can do. And with simple boot, it's actually very easy to do that. So you just change the block configuration to this lambda array that specify what derivative you want to specify for each toilet. So this what I suggest here is maybe you can explore if you change different derivative, what's the shape of the plot go. The eventual purpose would be hot start a computation from low derivative to higher derivative. But that's very difficult. That have something to do with SDP inside the C++ code. That's some complication. So I'm not suggesting that. I'm just suggesting try to explore what happens if you assign different derivative to different correlate. Another thing I could suggest is that I started this with Yincheng last year, but we like
2 years.
Okay, 2 years ago, but we don't have enough labor. We just couldn't push the computation. So basically, if you check the easing single correlator, let's say you look at the delta epsilon versus delta sigma. Around the bound, you actually see the navigate function is not continuous. It's actually C1 continuous, but not C2 continuous. There are a lot of C2 discontinuity. So for example, at some point, you will find the gradient on this side and on this side just have a discontinuity. And if you produce SDP exactly at this point, a little bit left, a little bit right, you look at the EFM, you find a certain operator decouple, a certain operator jump from certain one channel to another channel. So so the picture is that there are a lot of C2 discontinuity on this bound. So the interesting question is that as you push lambda to higher, does those C2 discontinuity merge around the kink and eventually become a C1 discontinuity? Nobody knows the answer to this question, but I think it would be very interesting if one can show as you push lambda to higher, you see those C2 discontinuity get closer and closer and eventually looks like it might go to a C1 discontinuity. If that's the case, that would be very interesting.
Are these operators that decouple like very high end spin scale dimension? Like the one with the small jumps? Like, yeah, so are these operators that decouple or being added, the operators that have like very large spin or very large dimension, or they're pretty low?
So the interesting thing is that close to the kink, you see some major C2 discontinuity, means the C2 discontinuity is really big.
Yeah.
Those C2 discontinuity correspond to something physical.
Yeah.
For example, if you do this in 2D, you find the C2 discontinuity actually corresponding to the decouple of the Virasoro null state. So those Virasoro null state were corresponding to some major C2 discontinuity. The biggest C2 discontinuity corresponding to T prime. So T is the energy momentum tensor. T prime for easing model is the level 2 null state. That should be non-zero. They are not null state for all the minimum order except for Ethan. That's a major C2 discontinuity. But slightly away from the changer, you find some artificial discontinuity corresponding to no operator jump from at a very large delta jump from one channel to another channel.
That's probably not artificial, right?
It could be some average of the null state decoupling.
Okay.
So the result looks artificial, but it could be account for a certain null state. Okay. Another thing I could suggest is that for Wilson Fisher, the only success we had now is just Ethan and Ethan related model. Basically, it's really the simplest model we have. So Yin Cheng has a paper. Jun Cheng has a paper say that it's published or not.
Okay, and we are trying to classify scalar permittive CFTs in for my theorem for scalar theories, which are more or less physical, meaning that just one relevant operator. This was finished like 50 years ago by Louis Michel, Toledano, Toledano, and Eduardo Brezin. Now it was finished for n equal to 4, doing it for n equal to 5, and in the future maybe n equal to 6. So there is a classification of perturbative fixed points in Fermat's epsilon, which have one relevant operator, which is a physics requirement. So, but the number of fixed points left, surprisingly, is not too much. So this restricted post model is one of them, which people know for a while.
Yeah, so I guess Jun Chen's conclusion is that what's left, one is qubit, another one is this model. So this model have symmetry Sn times Z2. I think Stefano is working on qubit, so please don't stoop him. So if you are interested, you can work on this one. This will be very challenging. Also, another one I personally interested is for using. In our paper, we only bootstrapped sigma, but it would be interesting to mix the two operators in Ethan, and I think that will push the precision much higher. And I have an analytic guess for that, and I want to check. Okay, last thing I suggest to you is that so the large charge perturbation people have a lot of prediction for large charge operator in ON. So basically, if you plot out the large charge operator, they have a simple formula to tell you the dimension of the large charge operator should be something like, I forgot the exact formula, but plus or minus, maybe plus. Yeah, it's some formula like this. And they have this kind of prediction for many, many channels, not just the spin zero channel. They have this for spin two, higher spin. They also have this for Z2 even, Z2 odd. They have a lot of prediction. And in my investigation with Jun Cheng, we found in numerical bootstrap, you actually could find the spectrum match this very well for smaller Q, but for larger Q, it becomes inaccurate. However, the analytical prediction should be accurate at large Q, not at small Q. Therefore, it would be very interesting to inject the prediction from numerical bootstrap from analytical large charge perturbation theory, inject that information into numerics and to see what happens. Basically, you can put this formula to predict the large charge operator. And so let's say I can take the large charge operator scaling dimension as a parameter to scan. So let's say I take this one and this one as a parameter that I want to scan. Then I plug in these two to this formula. According to that formula, it will predict a curve to the delta Q. Now I can inject this. I can inject this curve into the image to check if it works or not. Basically, you can try to find a point whose small Q scaling dimension are fixed by the image, but a large Q scaling dimension are fixed by the analytic formula, so that you use the analytics in the numerics. So this should be not, it's still a hard project, but it's doable. Okay, that's the end of it.
Thanks.